Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sacred Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. All right, let's get into it, you guys. The shows are here. This weekend, I'm going to be in St. Paul on Friday night and then Saturday in Chicago with the hilarious cutie, Justin Martindale. These are live Juicy Scoops. Someone was asking me, oh, does Justin go on first? No. Just like a live Juicy Scoop, but a little bit different with different segments. I'm saving juice for you guys. That's like exclusive stuff just for the live shows. Going to be very fun. And then if you have a meet and greet, the meet and greet happens immediately after the show. Like within like 5 minutes, I'm back out there ready to meet you guys, take photos. So that is the routine for the shows. People have been asking. Everything can be at heathermcdonald.net. Following weekend, Chris Frangiola and I are together in Seattle and Portland. So get all your tickets at heathermcdonald.net, and especially the Vegas one. That one is selling really well. And what a fun weekend. And a lot of people are going alone. I just read about this one mom. She is leaving her husband and toddlers at home, and she's literally just going to Vegas by herself because she wants to be alone in a hotel room and then come see our show. But she knows she's going to have a great time because there's going to be a bunch of other Juicy Scoopers there. So whatever your situation is, if you're coming to the show alone, you will not be alone. And that is for sure. So don't ever keep that from going to a Juicy Scoop. Okay. So this weekend, lots of fun things I did because I'm at home. So I wanted to make the most of it. Saturday, I went to an event celebrating Lala Kent at the Bob Shapiro, who is the famed attorney Robert Shapiro, but everyone calls him Bob. His son's passed away of drug addiction. And so there's a big charity for that. And Lala was honored, and I got to go, and Lisa Vanderpump was there, and Ken, and Stassi, and her friend Logan, and Katie. And so I was just right in there, and at one point I was on the red carpet because they asked me to do it, and then this one photographer's taking a photo of all of us, including Lisa Vanderpump. She goes, oh, are you on the show now? And I go, no, and then I realized, Heather, get the fuck off the carpet. They want just the Vanderpump people, not me. So anyway, look for those photos. I actually wore the dress that I wore when I married Chris Mangiola and his wife. So I didn't even buy a new dress. That stars just like you and me. That's the way I am. Anyway, there's more juice to the night, which I will share on Patreon, heathermcdonald.net. And you go click on Patreon and you change your life. Okay. Then finally, we went to the concert, the Duran Duran concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Now, if you're listening to the show with Chris Frangiola, he invited me. And then when I started to plan out the night, he wanted to disinvite me. And let me just tell you, I got a text on Friday saying, are you sure you want to go to Duran Duran? It's this Sunday. Now, I admit, I completely forgot that it was this Sunday when I got that text on Friday. And I took a minute to call him back. Because I was like, do I have the energy to do this? And I was like, Heather, you know, the Juicy Scoopers will be really disappointed if you don't go. And I am so glad I went. First of all, he was totally ready to invite someone else. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go. You promised me, we're going. It was flawless. I went to Trader Joe's that afternoon. I got very yummy food. He got upgraded to a box. He didn't realize that he is a family member that has a box. Like, what? You just don't, like, you never knew that. So now we got to sit in the box with a little table at the Hollywood Bowl. I have to say, the Hollywood Bowl is my favorite place to go see a show because it was, especially this time of year, it was not too hot. I was fine. I wore tennis shoes. I wore joggers by She by Sheree. No, they weren't by She by Sheree, but I wore joggers and a cute top and tennis shoes. And that really made all the difference in the world. And then we brought our food and we brought our wine and stood up and danced. And it was the best. It was really, really fun. And I think he was happy with what I brought. And I think he was happy that he brought me. So the Uber was easy. Pickup was easy. It was an easy experience. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Queen died. Of course, people are sad. People are super into it. For someone who talks about Meghan Markle and all the drama with that, I don't know. I wasn't like freaking out about it. I understand why it is, because she was like a constant. And if you watch The Crown, you'll really love her, the way she's portrayed in that. I really don't watch The Crown. So I feel like she's lived a really great life. And, you know, it's interesting. But now that it's King Charles, the direct grandchildren of whoever is the king or queen, those children can be princes and princesses. So now, if they choose to have their child be a prince or princess, I guess Meghan Markle's kids now can be Prince Archie and Princess Lilibet. So it was never – here's the thing. I think the reason – okay, so this is a juiciness. Okay, so there was some videos that we found of people not happy to see Meghan there. So people were excited to see Meghan and Harry with William and Kate, and they were together and they were greeting people. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I wish they were like more friendly and maybe they can get back together. They're never – it's always going to be weird. And if you're a huge fan of the Queen, it's like – God, Meghan, you put the queen, like this elderly woman, through an awful last year and a half of her life. Like, you were the only stress in her life. The stuff that you did, that you said in your interviews, which, hey, it's your right to share your story. But if you're not being super, you know, greeted by the people of England happily right now, then that could be the reason. So that's my opinion. And then, of course, side pieces all over the world are cheering that they too have a queen, and that is Camilla. And that's not my joke. I've seen it other places, but I do think it was kind of brilliant. It could be looked at that, or it could also be looked at is he always loved her and wanted to marry her, but because she wasn't young and virginal, I want to say maybe she was divorced or something or older, he had to marry someone more like Diana. And because of that, they still always loved each other. Of course, they had their affair even while she was married. And now that they've been together for like, I don't even know how long they've been married, 20 years or something, they seem like they have a great relationship. And so she is going to be called the Queen something. She has a different name. But so there you go. It's kind of interesting. Oh, this came up today. Khloe Kardashian has been teasing some big thing. I, of course, thought it was a podcast. It's not. It's gummies. And she's selling gummies, and they're called Lemmy. And I'm all about promoting other women, especially when they do photos that exactly are the exact cover of my book of You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again. I have a photo of it side by side. And yeah, that was the cover of my book. Came out in 2010. In fact, Kris Jenner gave me a quote for it. So it probably was on her bookshelf when they were thinking of this photo idea. And so Courtney, who looks really beautiful, she went naked. I wore a dress. She is laying down from the exact same angle as I am with all the gummies covering her. So, you know, my dad always said plagiarism is the highest form of flattery. So thank you. I really don't care. Sell those gummies. I love it. And just maybe I could get like a free bottle for talking about it for 5 minutes. Okay. This was the scoop that happened over the weekend. Ray J is pissed. Ray J went on his Instagram Live and he shared all the info. I'm going to give it to you in a linear way, okay, of what went down. In April, an episode aired of the Kardashians Hulu show where Kim started to cry because her son, Saint, was looking on something called Roblox, and some ad or something came up with there's a new sex tape, one that has never been released, with Kim and Ray J coming out. She was like, what? What is this other sex tape? I mean, I never filmed another sex tape with Ray J. He has it? What the hell? I mean, what was I asleep and he like stuck his dick in my butt? Like, she says that on the show. Then it concludes with her at SNL. And even though she's divorcing Kanye, he shows up with his laptop and he said, I went to Ray J and I got all the material of the next sex tape that now, thanks to me, will never be released. Ray J was pissed about that portrayal. He wrote Kim. He ends up sharing all their DMs together. And she's like, no, it obviously was a joke. I did not, like, accuse you of anything that was criminal or anything. But watch the episode because you come off great. And he's like, she's like, I just thought you'd want to get it off the internet, too, now that you're a father and I'm a mother. And he's like, well, if the story is that I put it out there without your knowledge, you know, because the story has always been about the sex tape, that apparently Ray J went, got the tape was out because he put it out there. And then they were like, let's make lemonade out of lemons. And then they did a deal with Vivid and Steve Hirsch, and where they then made money. But it was not ever her intention to have it out. But once it was out, kind of like a Pamela Anderson, I guess I'll just make the most of it. There was always rumors that was it more calculated than that? Was it actually put out by Kris Jenner maybe, or Kim alone, or whatever? So he keeps his mouth shut. Now, but he didn't like it, but he was like, whatever, fine. Then we saw what was going on with Kanye last weekend, and Kanye and Ray J had some connection. They're talking. Over the weekend or Friday or something, Kris and Kylie go on James Corden. They're all asshole buddies. They all live in the Madison Club in La Quinta, okay? So James Corden is the new Ellen, and they're going to probably come on every week until he leaves the show. So they come on to talk about their new blush collab or something. And in it, they do a real corny thing where they do a fake lie detector test. It's fake. It's been planned out. Are you kidding me? And, you know, come on. So of the fun questions like, did Kim rip the dress, blah, 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 is Corey husband material? Yes, he is. And everything comes out. And there really is like nothing where she's lying on it. And then they say, did you help sell? Were you instrumental in selling the sex tape? And she says no. And they like confirm that is true. That is what set off Ray J. While he's in vacation in the Dominican Republic or something, he's separated or divorcing his wife, who he has the two kids with, and he goes off for hours, and he starts sharing all the DMs, and he brings out the Vivid contract with Kim's writing on it and his writing, and they all signed it, and in it, it clearly states what three tapes there are. There's part one, getting to Cabo, part two, the Cabo sex, and part three, sex tape two in Santa Barbara, because he said we went to Santa Barbara and we felt because we were meeting with Steve Hirsch and everything to plan this out, we went to Santa Barbara and filmed a whole nother thing with like better lighting and I don't know what. So I've been saying this for a while. I felt, you know, when we were at Chelsea Lately, the one thing we could never, ever joke about was the sex tape. If there was a topic about the Kardashians and another comedian came on, the producers would have to go over their jokes and be like, there's no way you could reference the sex tape ever. We have promised E, we will never, ever mention the sex tape. Then this season with Hulu, she comes out and all these jokes about her having a sex tape is in her stand-up monologue at SNL. And I said, I go, I think they know this is going to get out. I think they know the truth is going to get out. And they're like, let's get ahead of it and be like, whatever. So at the end of her like fighting with Ray J in the DMs, she's like, do whatever you want. Like, I don't really care anymore. Like, she's being all nice to him. And then she's like, whatever. I don't really care. So Hollywood Unlock picks it up. It's everywhere except TMZ. Okay. Literally, this is the cover of TMZ. I have it here for the YouTube. And they did not talk about this at all. Okay. Very, very interesting. So my thought is, yeah. Did they probably have something to do with it? Yes. For many years, did I think they didn't? Yeah. You know, I really feel like right now in the world, every day is like an episode of Fox's show Magic Revealed, where all of a sudden you're like, that's how the trick was done. Oh, we believed something different for all these years. Okay, well, who cares? And I think she's kind of like, who cares? I think she knew that this stuff was going to come out because she was planning on leaving Kanye, because she still had Ray J's still pissed that like he didn't get that much out of it as far as fame. They both got 12.5% of all the money that was made after, which I don't think is a big coup, because we knew that she was making money off of it. Once it was out and in every hotel room, we knew she was making money. The whole thing was, did she go and orchestrate something with the intent of, let's do a sex tape, or we have this sex tape, let's release it, and then act like, boo-hoo, I didn't know, this is terrible. but now I'm super duper famous and I don't care. I think she's like fine with us knowing because it's like you are the marketing genius. And now, whatever it is, 16 years later, when every, you know, other mom has a OnlyFans account, does it really matter? Does anyone really freaking care? I told you when we were watching the Pamela Lee and Tommy thing with my sons, they were like, who cares that there's a video of them having sex? Like, who cares that it's out there? Like, this younger generation, it's not going to make them not buy Skims or not watch the show. But, you know, anyway, I'll share more on Patreon. I know more. But there you go. TMZ did not report. Okay. Here are all the DMs I had here. Okay, Blac Chyna. Now, there was this crazy article going around saying that she made $20 million a month and, like, whatever it was. $240 million a year, averaging a $20 million a month on OnlyFans. The girl lives down the street, okay, from where my office is. Literally down the street. So I was like, there's no way. And then her mom, Tokyo Chyna.
Tokyo Tony.
She piped up. She goes, it's absolutely not true. If she was making that much, why would she still have her mom hustling on the corner? I think she probably makes a lot. I think she probably makes like, I don't know, 80 to 100,000 a month, I'm guessing, which is still a lot. But that girl, Catch Me Outside girl from Dr. Phil, she's on the cover of Forbes, or maybe she made a Forbes thing. I don't know. I saw it. But apparently she did make like $48 million this year on OnlyFans, and she's the top producer. So no one's making $240 million. Anyway, Brittany. So this weekend with Brittany, you guys, and I am going to cover it. I don't care. It's intriguing to me. She did another four-part audio tape that she has since taken down on her Instagram, again, talking to her sons. And in it, it's very kind of weird, and she's just like, my heart is broken. I love you. But she also says things like, you know, everybody's so concerned about how much sugar their babies get, you know? My babies would wake up and I'd give them ice cream because I just wanted to see their eyes open. From the moment they woke up, I gave them ice cream. Anyway, you know, she's like, you know, sad about it, but calling them out for being sons that don't come around anymore. And so, I mean, I just want, so I, you know how I got, how I feel. Here's the thing. If your mom is not mentally well, if your parent is not mentally well, your dad, your mom, whatever, and there are kids that are living in homes with their parents that are like this. And because they have no choice, okay? This is the person that provides for them. This is their shelter. But in their heads, they're like, when I turn 18, I'm getting the fuck out of here because this has been crazy and I've had to be the parent in this situation. These boys don't have to live with Brittany. And after 13, they don't even really have to visit her if they don't want to. I think it's sad. I think they might regret it one day. But try telling like a 15-year-old boy, well, your mom's going to cut you off when you're 18. How do you feel about that? Most teenagers would be like, I'm okay. Like, I think I'm smart and talented. I'm going to make my own money. I don't need to deal with her putting me on blast every day and then rolling around in the sand. I don't need it. So that is where I'm coming from of the teenage boy perspective who's being put out on blast a couple times a week of being a bad son. And then I read the comments and they're like, oh, I can't wait till those two little ungrateful shits get cut off. You don't think they see that? Like, you know, it doesn't matter that at the end she says, I love you. So then she took it down, but then she decided to post this photo of her on her knees with her back facing. Her body looks great, but she's pulling her butt cheeks apart. But then she was nice enough to put a little heart where the butthole would be. And then she talks about how she always hated all of her promo photos. And so this is the photo that she likes. And, you know, then she removed that description. And it's just constant. And I find it interesting. I have seen photos of her in Hawaii. She is in Hawaii. Sam does do the videos. I've seen that. She is in, I believe she's 100% in charge of her Instagram. And she's like, no one's going to tell me not to do what I want to do, which is why I think why Sam just is like, I'll film you. You post this. I think a lot of the stuff that she's posting, like this photo, is from a while back. Just like somebody where you look great and you're like, oh, this is like 2 years ago, but who cares? I'm going to throw it on here. That's what I think. I think a lot, she just, needs to get the love from the Instagram people. And she does say, I don't think I'll ever perform again. So that was kind of interesting. Okay, Real Housewives of Atlanta was on, and they're wearing a gorgeous coral color, and I guess everybody got their dresses made. Kind of a lot going on with the dresses. It was a little, some of it was like a little confusing. This one girl, she's new to the cast. I don't really enjoy her. She is an Olympian, but it's literally like she had two dresses. Like one side was high neck and like beaded, and then another one was just like a bathing suit. It was so weird. Anyway. She by Sheree and Candy, I didn't know weren't getting along, but Candy posted this today and I thought it was hilarious. Candy said, you thought She by Sheree wasn't coming back? Don't count your girl at She by Sheree out. Make sure you support and purchase your at She by Sheree before it sells out. Also, she is coming with a special promo code for tonight only. Use She's Not by Sheen for 20% off. So as you guys know, the She by Sheree clothes are also being sold by She by Sheree, Amazon, and Sheen, these certain items. So it's all from the same manufacturer, and they're all at different prices. And She by Sheree's prices were much, much more expensive, like $100 more for the set than like what you could get on Sheen. So I don't know, but it's part one aired, and it's pretty good, and they do look pretty. Okay, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was on, and Erica did not make herself look good, and Drunk Dawn did great drawings of her. Drunk Dawn is an Instagram you should follow. Very talented, funny artist. And she was just evil. And Erica's like, what? What are you guys talking about? I don't, because you shouldn't be thinking about the victims, Kyle. You should only be thinking about me. That's all I'm thinking about is me. I don't have time to think about anybody. Who even knows if they're victims anyway? We don't know. We don't know if they were financial victims or not. What was I supposed to know? I was a wife who was done dirty, who was left on the side of the road. And they're like, stop, stop, stop. Like, Erica, stop. Dorit's like, Erica, please stop it. Like, stop, stop. And Lisa Rinna's like, whoa. I just had a gummy, and I've got to get the fuck out of here. Come on, girl. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get her out of here. Let me get my Balenciaga shawl. And they leave, and they're like, oh, my God. So meanwhile, turns out nobody was having the fact that Kathy Hilton is an investor in this vodka that I didn't know was Eva Longoria's vodka. Tequila. It's Eva Longoria's tequila. Do you know there's 42 celebrities or something, or maybe it's there's so many that it literally is like 42, because I saw a guy going and listing all the celebrity tequilas. Anyway, this was one that he did not like, this guy, but I have not tasted it. And she, so everyone was mean that she was trying to hawk a tequila that she's an investor in, even though they had all their own stuff. So Kathy's like, comes out and she goes, normally, I think tequila tastes disgusting. I hate it. But this tequila that I'm an investor in and Nikki and her husband are investors in is so delicious. And then like Lisa Rinna, like in this week's episode, goes up to the bar and it's like, do you think I could have some of that 818? I'd like to taste my good friend Kendall Jenner's tequila 818. And you see Kathy be like... So they taped the reunion, and Diana conveniently got COVID, and she had to do it remote. And I don't think Patrick Summers showed up, but I have some scoop on that for the live show. Also, Caroline Stansberry, you know, I wasn't into Dubai, but there was a juicy ass moment where she's being nasty to another girl, and the other girl goes, you were friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And she's like, yes, I was. And Andy's like, what? She's like, he goes, were you on the plane? Yes, I was on the plane. I was friends with all of them. Like, probably friends with Prince Andrew, and went to the island. She's just like, what are you going to do about it? And he didn't even pry. He was like, oh, okay. It's like, yes, good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Friends with all of them. Got a problem with that? Like, so, I was like, can we just delve into that a little bit more? But also, I think if there is evidence that she was social with them and even went on like a fun vacation there, it's probably best that she just says it like that. And if they pry, she's like, no, I never saw any prostitutes. But did I go on the island once? Yes. Did I go on the plane? Yes. Did I eat? I don't know what she's going to say. I don't think she gives a shit. I don't think anyone cares about this show, unfortunately. Or, well, fortunately and unfortunately. But that's the question I hope they address soon. Like, or at least at BravoCon. All right, you guys. Now, for my very juicy interview, Alex Hall, please welcome. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have the star. I think you're the biggest star of it. I'm not just saying that. Of Selling the OC. You guys know we are all watching the show on Netflix. Alex Hall.
I hope so.
Welcome. Thank you for driving all the way from the OC to the breezy, cool valley. It's been very hot. It's been very, very hot here. So I appreciate you coming.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm excited to have you here too. I just want to know all about it. I watched the whole season.
Yeah. Did you binge it?
Kind of
like increments?
No, pretty much like within like a week.
Yeah.
Like three here, two here. And, but I mean, first of all, I don't know if you know, but I have a real estate background.
No.
So my mom and dad were like a couple, like the couple that ran
dead bus benches.
That said, welcome you to Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
I was soliciting listings from a young age, figuring out who was going to move.
Were you licensed working for them?
No, I was like seven. Okay. I was delivering pumpkins. Back then we really farmed an area. Mm-hmm. So I delivered pumpkins. I've stuffed envelopes.
Okay.
I would like ride my bike home from school and follow the signs to the open house. And my mom would have some food there.
Yep.
Like then when I was out of SC and pursuing acting, then I was a full-blown realtor while I pursued acting.
Well, you like started from the real ground up.
Yeah.
I make my kids drop for me all the time. I'm like, I'll drive the car. You get out, put mommy's flyers on the doorsteps. They love it. They like being a part of it, actually.
I mean, it's like any other win-win. Like family business. Yeah. If you had an Italian restaurant, you'd feel prideful about your friends. Why do you go into that other Italian restaurant? Why don't you go to my family's 100%. Italian restaurant? Whatever. So it's like, so I love all that. I loved Selling Sunset. And I mean, what I think is great about it is it's a bunch of very thin Barbies selling real estate. I love the fashion. I love the clothes. I love the way it's shot.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
But I did get kind of sick of seeing the exact same houses on Selling Sunset, mm-hmm. that they only did the modern open outdoor living.
I've heard that.
And so I love the OC to visit and to be at. I love Real Housewives of OC for that reason. So I like seeing the ocean more than I care to see, you know, the Hollywood Hills.
Me too.
I guess there's that going for it. But also, you guys are all young.
Younger. I mean, we're not, I mean, comparatively speaking.
How young are you?
I'm 32.
Yeah, you look really young. But I was confused because I was like, this girl looks like she's 30, but she's divorced with kids.
Yeah.
So either the plastic surgeons are really better in the OC.
No, I mean, when I get to that age, I probably will. I'm not against plastic surgery or injecting whatever the hell you want into your face. But the cameras do also, even when I saw myself on the cameras and all of us, I was like, we look like children, all of us. I'm like, it flushes us out, all the lighting. Adam DeVille did a great job with that, okay? I'll give him that. It is like, you really have to cake on the makeup more because everything gets so washed out. So it's like, okay, now I got to start wearing heavier eyeliner because I'm not a big makeup person. I mean, everyone that grows up by the beach usually isn't a big makeup person anyways. And once I saw myself for the first time, I was like, oh my God, we look like, if I want to be taken seriously, I have to look a little bit older.
No, but I mean, I think you're very, very pretty, but I loved that you didn't have like the big fake lashes and stuff. I liked that you did like a lighter eyeliner. I mean, I really didn't notice all that. I really was like, oh, and I kind of was like, oh, I hope next season she doesn't have those fucking like bat wings on her eyes. Okay.
That's not me.
So
there were some times that when we did our makeup like for an event.
So would you get, okay, so first let's get start from the beginning.
Sure.
So when did you get married so that to have these kids so young?
I was 12, no. I got married when I was 20. I met husband when I was 18 and we got pregnant and I literally went from, he was 23 at the time and I was 18. And I was like so infatuated with him. Older guy, cool
car. And did you grow up in the OC?
I grew up. I moved to Orange County when I was 15 with my family.
Okay.
And a lot of my—
From where?
From Northern California. Okay. Very small little farm town in Northern California. Very humble beginnings. And when I moved here, you know, it was very different. And I met this— I met him at 18, so a few years later. And I developed a really, really strong group of friends when I lived here. And everyone kind of sporadically moved off to college. And when I was back home, I met him at a high school football game.
In Northern California?
No, here in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
At Dana Hills, my old high school.
Oh, okay.
Everyone was back in town for Thanksgiving. And met him.
Is anything better than the Wednesday?
Nothing is better.
Before Thanksgiving.
Nothing is better.
If you are single
and
under 30 or over, it doesn't matter, and you go home for the holidays,
yeah,
and you don't go to local bars that Wednesday.
Bars. Yep.
And at least get fingered, I will not be your friend. It is the best.
Yes.
So you went.
So we did it every year. I missed out on a lot of, once I got pregnant. That tradition still stayed
so,
alive,
so
but
you,
I didn't do it anymore.
From, so at 20, you live in Orange County. What are you doing for an occupation at that time?
I had my daughter at the time. So
no,
I
no,
went,
but you said you got pregnant,
I got
at
pregnant
20.
At 18.
Oh, you got pregnant at 18.
So met him at 18. Got pregnant at 18, 3 months after meeting him.
So, but you, so you'd graduated from high school.
Yes.
But you were not going away to college.
So I was meant to go away to college. Those plans got intervened.
Oh,
know, a little bit
really?
Intervened.
Where were you going to go?
UCLA. And
wait, you? Got-
I had a whole plan. Like we, I had a plan.
Oh,
and then
interesting.
I got pregnant and. I've always wanted to be a mom. Like since I was the kid holding the fake baby to the restaurant every time we left the house.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was me. And so 18, got pregnant, went from.
So he, okay, so
he
you.
He lives here.
Oh, okay. And so yep. You met at that Wednesday thing.
He's
okay.
An Orange County local. I just didn't know him.
And what was he at doing at 20?
In college. He was at UCI going to school to be an
attorney. Oh, my God, UC
Irvine.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And we think we're so old then. I'm like, I'm 18, he's 23. Like, we're old. Now I look back, I'm like, oh, my God, we were such children.
Yeah.
And I literally went from living with my parents in their home, getting more pregnant and more pregnant and more pregnant, to the going into labor with my best friend sitting in bed next to me and my parents across the hallway in their room. I go into labor, go to the hospital, 3 days later, have a baby, and I go home with him. With my baby daddy, and we move in together for the first time with a 3-day-old baby and know nothing about each other.
Okay, so, but wait a minute. How do you tell your parents that you're pregnant? How did you find out you were pregnant?
So I found out I was pregnant because I missed my period.
Okay.
And I just knew I had this, I just knew. And the, I mean, I was on birth control, which I'm not a huge fan of birth control anymore. But at the time, really weird story. Swear to God, this is true. I was in his car, went to go take my pill. Because you have to take it at the same time every day.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it dropped down his seat. And I was like, don't forget to remind me to get that. And we both remember it like it was yesterday. And he's like, okay, I won't. Next thing you know, we're home, whatever. Didn't take the pill. Got pregnant.
And then you took the pill the next day.
Two of them. Had to take both pills. You have to, so you have to take that pill the next day.
Right.
And it did. Got pregnant. Literally. I was fertile, man. So I was like, it's meant to be. And,
right,
you know,
right.
And she's the best thing that's ever happened
to me. Of course.
I mean,
of course.
Oh, my God.
So how did he react when you told him?
He was like, well, what do you want to do? He was very supportive. And I said, well, I don't know yet. You know, because we found out, like, before even you could even get an ultrasound. Like, it was so early.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, I'm coming over to his parents' house. Mind you, I've only known this man 3 months. And he's Cuban background, like, so our families get on pretty well. And his mom's got no grandchildren on either sides of our family. And his mom's got a big Nordstrom box. And she's like, this is for you. I'm like, what's happening? I open it up, and it's a baby, a white little giraffe baby blanket. And I'm like, oh.
So he had told him.
Keeping the baby.
Yeah, and so he had told him.
He had told his mom. And I was like, well, I'm like, well, great. Like, this is honestly, like, what I wanted, but I was taking time to think about it.
And
then
you,
knowing
there
he
was
on
no,
board.
There was no heartbreak for you to not pursue a traditional college.
Anything in my life, no. That was, no.
So that's awesome.
But I think when you're so young, because I have looked back, and even now, thinking if I want more children, there's so much more to weigh. At that age, I was just like, you're so naive, and you're just so in the moment. I didn't think it was never an idea like, will this, what am I trading? It was just, I want to be a mom and I can do whatever I want with still having a child. You know?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that he would be, I didn't want to have a baby necessarily without a father figure. So if he would have been like, you know what, I'm not going to be in this child's life and I'm not going to, not for me, for help. I have a huge, I have family support, but for her, I was thinking I wouldn't want to bring a child into this world already knowing you're not going to have a father figure. So once I knew he was on board, everything just changed. And I mean, we didn't move in together before I had the baby. He was out partying. He was 23 and I was 18. I couldn't even go out if I wanted to.
Could he support you?
So he was still in law school. We had support from my family. But he did have a very successful business, which I ended up working for.
What was that?
While I was pregnant. It was a translating business. Very, very, very.
Oh, from English to Spanish, you mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I did that while, I mean, we lived together and he was still in school.
Do you speak Spanish?
No. Okay. No. He speaks Spanish fluently. Uh-huh. But it was a really good way to support ourselves.
Yeah.
And it did the trick because I could work from home and take care of the baby. And I was at my mom's every single day. I was with my grandmother, with my sister. And then as things evolved, you know, I was like, well, I would love to have another baby. So we had another baby, thinking we're never going to get divorced. Then my adorable son was born. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have two kids now. I've got nothing under my belt. I've got no degree, no work experience besides the family business.
Right.
So I was like, what can I do where I can be my own boss and make money? And I thought, okay, where can I get an easy license? I thought like vet, like could it be like a vet technician because I love animals. But then I was like, I don't want to deal with like killing animals and poop all day. And so I got my real estate license. My mom drove me to Irvine at 9 months pregnant, almost popping. She's like, you can't drive yourself. I waddled in. I took my real estate exam because I was like, once I have two kids, I'm never going to do it. I'm going to get so busy. Got my license. And after he was born, I couldn't handle another like mommy play date situation and talking about like sleep cycles and breastfeeding. And I said, I gotta work. I have to have adult interaction. I have to have like a business side of me. So the rest is history.
So then you started working as a realtor.
Yeah.
And so then that was how many years ago?
So I got my license in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then what happened with the demise of the marriage?
We were so young. We just really, like, I feel like in a relationship, you're supposed to grow like this.
Yeah.
And we just grew like this.
Apart.
And
yeah.
He was gone so much trying to, you know, build his career. And I was home with the kids. And then I wanted to build my career. And we really didn't have, we did not have a solid foundation.
When did you know, did you have an aha moment where you're like, you know what, this isn't going to be forever?
I did. But I pushed it down because it broke my heart so badly for my children.
Yeah.
So I was like, here's what I can do. I can hang on for 18 years or, you know, at this point more than 18 because I had two. I can hang on for the next 20 some years and be my, and I had a good life. Like I had a good life for my kids. And, you know, from the outside perspective, I didn't want for anything, but I wanted I was like, I want to be in love with my partner
mm-hmm.
and I want to have that. And I thought it's never a good time to get divorced, ever. And we tried therapy, and we both really, really, really wanted it for the children. But it just...
That's not enough.
Wasn't enough. Yeah.
And so was the divorce amicable or not?
I mean, I didn't even get an attorney. We hired a mediator, and we sat in a room like this. And we're like, you get the bed, I get the rug. And that was it. We just wanted to keep it amicable because... We have to raise our children together for the rest of our lives.
And do you get support, financial support?
I don't get support, but I get, I mean, he's very present in their lives.
Really?
He's very present.
So you're like, yeah. I did
get support, okay. But at this point, where we're at, it's even. It's even.
Oh, okay,
you know what
cool.
I mean? So, but he also is with them now 50% of the time. So
wow, you're really lucky.
We're both. He's yeah. also very lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah, he is too.
He
yeah.
got off very, very easily, and I was probably too naive. But I was like, I just want to stay friends. And
so, how old were you when you were single again?
26.
And so you're single again. You're doing the real estate thing, mm-hmm. And now, so what happens between you just being a realtor, single woman,
yeah.
Did you watch Selling Sunset?
No, that didn't even come out until years later. I mean, 26 was,
right.
you know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
So for a couple of years, you're just doing your thing.
Yeah.
Dating?
Trying to date. And honestly, kind of just the whirlwind, like, Alex, you just got divorced. This is a huge thing. And I've got one kid still in diapers. My other, like, now, I mean, is dating really a priority? And do you have time for it? Because if you do, then your work is going to go on the back burner. So it was really, really hard to juggle. And I had to make a decision, you know, career or finding the love of my life. And it might happen organically, but I had to choose my career. And I did date.
Was it hard? Was it hard to find clients because you were so pretty and young? And like, I mean, it's hard to find people that have that kind of money. That's like
a lot of wasted time. And I had a fantastic mentor, a fantastic broker at the time, and who really, 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 I mean, said it how it was. He's like, and no excuses. Because I would say, oh. Because I got into a trap where these people would come into my open houses and they're like, oh, well, yeah, I've got, you know, a $10 million budget. Drive me around for a month and I'll make an offer. There's no offer. You're not married. You just want to get me in the car and spend time with you. So that's why I'm very, very, I am like, no, where's the proof of funds? And like, let's get right to business.
You know, what's funny is I am very into like crime and stuff. And I interviewed the former prosecutor of Newport, Matt Murphy, about the crimes that have happened in Newport.
Okay.
And one of them involved like a woman having her lover kill her fiance and then hoping to get all this money. And before they were caught, like, or immediately right after the guy was killed. Yeah. They were going looking at houses or right before they were looking at houses. And he goes, every time there's a crime for money, which is like an extra offense, like kill for money. He's like, it always involves a realtor. And I go, as if realtors don't have it bad enough, they're now like
involved in high crime.
But I also think it's just someone's like weird fantasy.
It is.
And they don't realize that one thing I hate is when I've gone to like, motivational thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Dress the part.
Yeah.
You know, go drive that car that you want. And I go, but the person that's selling the car is wasting the time driving you around.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't waste someone's time. Like, do a vision board.
Yeah, do your vision board.
Or don't waste some other hardworking person's time.
Right.
Like, I think people get off on the fantasy of thinking that you're also getting excited.
Right. For sure.
Thinking that you have a really rich client when they know.
Well, that's why I don't get excited. I mean, unless escrow is closed and I've got a check in my, I'm also very superstitious, but it's like, where are the money producing activities? What am I doing that's actually, is it driving single guys around for a month looking at $10 million mansions without getting proof of funds?
What about,
no.
Okay, so obviously you're very attractive, great figure.
Most agents are though. That's also why we're a target. Like, let me go into this open house. I'm a single man and I want to date somebody attractive. Let me go into this open house and there's a 80% chance it might be an attractive female.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so how does that, like, give me some of the flirty things. Because I remember falling into this trap too back in the day.
When you were seven?
Yeah. When I was like 23 or 24, my parents were very excited that I was pursuing it with them. Like, and so they would like pay for the ad to have me like in the paper and stuff.
So cute.
And then, I had like a good headshot at the time. I mean, nothing as pretty as you, but whatever.
Oh, stop.
At the time, there weren't that many young people that were doing it. Most everybody was like an old person.
Yep.
So it was like, and so we'd get these calls and I'd hear my mom like on the phone being like, oh, I thank you. That's my daughter. She's gorgeous.
So proud.
Yes. Well, you know, you should see her. She's 5'9". And and like I would go on and I'm like, Mom, you are like
completely. You're pimping me out.
Yes, you're completely pimping me out. And I'm like, she's like, oh, would you like her to show you homes on Mulholland? I think there's a vacant one. Would you like her to wear a skirt? I'm like, what the fuck is this?
What kind of shoes do you like?
A little bit.
That is
so
funny.
Yes, I do think, but were you ever kind of like excited, like you meet a guy and he is pretending, or maybe he is really rich, and you're like, okay, this is kind of fun. Maybe I can get a sale and date him.
I would be had I ever. This might come as a shock to you, and it's actually shocking to me at this point in my career. I have yet to meet somebody who I've wanted, like, has got me excited, who's come in and been checked the boxes and also is rich. I haven't met. They're always either they're fake or they don't fit the part aesthetically or they don't fit the – there's not that many attractive, funny, smart, kind
super
guys.
Rich, yeah.
Yeah, that are out. They're like, hey, my best friend's a realtor. I'm using him. You know what I mean? It's not
– right, yeah.
Trust me, I've met plenty of men who are suitable candidates, but they're not the ones walking through the door at my open house, you know?
Right.
Or I've literally had the creepiest things happen, too, like, because tell our photos some. Are on these websites, our
right.
headshots. So they've got our name, our phone number, our emails. They know what listings we have. It's, when you think about it, it is kind of beyond creepy. I had a guy call me one time over and over and over and over again. Same guy. Always a blocked number. In the beginning of my career, and would tell me every time, same story. We met at an open house, and you gave me your phone number because you told me that I could take you on a date. And after, like, the fourth time, like, I've never given my phone number to anybody at an open house to tell them I can they can take me on a date, ever. So right off the bat, I know you're lying, and then it continued and continued and continued. I'm like, dude, I know who you are. You call me, like, every 3 months. Just stop. Had another guy call me, random number, tell me he followed me into the restroom at my office and offered me money to defecate on him.
Wait.
What? Not the Oppenheim office. This was many, many years ago, a different brokerage. And I thought it was a prank call, so I was dying laughing. I was, like, thinking it was one of
wait,
my friends.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
He calls you? You said he followed you into the office. I'm confused.
He said he was the janitor at my office and says, and I go into the bathroom after you leave the bathroom. And I'm like, first of all, I've never... Number two in my office restroom ever.
Wait, so
if whatever you're insinuating.
So a guy calls you and he goes, by the way, I'm the janitor at the so-and-so's uh-huh. realtors.
Yeah.
And what I like to do is after you use the bathroom, I go in and what? Do something gross?
Whatever.
And then he said, I will pay you how much?
He didn't. Yeah, I didn't have it.
And he goes, I'd like to
pay. I think I actually asked because I thought it was a joke. And I was like, how much? And then I realized he wasn't joking and I got really creeped out. So I called my broker at the time and I said, okay, I thought it was a joke, and now I'm getting really creeped out because I don't think it's a joke. Some guy said, and he took it way more seriously than I did. He was like, this is because he knows. He's been a broker for decades.
Right.
And he knows how creepy this business can be from the opposite side. And he was like immediately calling everyone he could that owned the building. And within like 20 minutes, he called me back and he was like, it can't be a janitor because we don't have any male janitors that work. They're all female. So I was like, I don't know if I'm more creeped out or less creeped out. I'm never definitely using the bathroom at the office ever again.
Yeah.
But just so weird. Obviously, that guy found my number on a website. And going into this business, even I can be very naive. And even door, like, I'll knock on any door. And for the first 4 years, I never carried pepper spray. People invite you in. I'm like, yes, got in, you know. And I'm like,
and so for people that don't know what the door knocking thing,
yeah,
that's where like you literally go into a neighborhood that you think could be possibly one that you could work at,
right?
And I would think you'd go to the less of the mansion ones and more of like where there's actually someone going to be there. Or
no, because the bigger ones, in my experience,
okay,
here's a tip to everybody listening.
Yeah.
They're not used to getting their door. People have that perception.
Oh,
like,
okay.
And so guess what? If 100 agents are knocking the door where it looks like, you know, Betty and Bill are going to be home and nowhere where this mansion, they're actually nicer when you come to the door because no one ever has the balls to knock on their door. If you can get through the gate and security and all that stuff.
Whenever we're like going around like the OC or any like, you know, area and it's out, every house has been redone and it's gorgeous. And then you see that one story we call it the grandma house.
Yeah.
And my sons and I now, we all say it because we're like, we'll go by and we're like, how many visits does that person get a day?
Lot.
Oh, I meet the nicest people. They come in
but
for
they
tea.
Do. And no. They talk.
Because
also a lesson, those people will talk your ear off. they're never going to sell their house.
Because the heirs
but
are like,
they'll
Grandma,
talk to you forever.
Grandma, you're not yeah. listing the house.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. they love company. You right. get to a certain agent. I can't blame them. I would be the same way. I'd be like, right. what agent's going to knock on my door today and
but
have
I'm
tea
like,
with me?
How many people are dying to get this listing that like every developer would want?
Never. Yeah. Honestly, 99.9% chance it's never going to happen. It'll go into a trust. It's in a trust and it'll... She's yeah. like, I want to die happy in my home, and that's it. And the kids and the, or grandchildren will get the house.
Yeah, then the 55-year-old heirs will fight over
exactly.
it. And
which
yeah.
is a nightmare. Oh, yeah. my God. You know, funny story. Yeah. Speaking of mansions and speaking, you said your friend was Kelly, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And if it's the same person I'm thinking of, she was on The Housewives,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and she's a spicy one, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's the same person, but no, I think it is. Yeah, I see a picture of her. I knocked on her door. Years ago.
When she was near the beach?
Right on the water.
Yes. Yeah.
And not her door specifically, but I was knocking that whole street.
Right.
And I walked up, you know, in my little high heels, and I look over and there's all these super nice cars outside, like a Lamborghini, and there's a whole like camera crew. And I was like, oh, something's going on. That's awkward. Maybe I shouldn't knock on the door. And then I'm thinking, Alex, go knock on the door. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking to her door, she walks out and she's like, who are you? And I was like, ugh. Alex, I just wanted to talk to you about your house. And she's like, can't you see I'm filming? And she was not feeling it. And I was like, I respect that. I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, can't you see I'm filming? Get out of here. And I was like, that was aggressive. And I like literally like walked away. And I remember thinking, she looks so familiar. And I thought how funny it was because then I remember her being from the Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, Alex, like, lesson learned. Don't ever go up to a house when there's, like, a camera crew and you're, like, obviously they were working or doing something, but I'm so naive. I just thought it was really funny because
so let's get into it. So were you a fan of reality TV? Like, were you someone that saw yourself ever doing this or enjoyed it as – you didn't watch it really?
Oh, no. So I used to watch it maybe – like, my mom and my sister are big reality TV girls. And so – maybe when my kids were younger, you know, in diapers, and I would go over and hang out with them, they'd have it on, and you kind of get hard not to get sucked into. But I'm more of like, I'll do movies and I'll do like crime shows, stuff like that. But I never in a million years thought.
So then, how did you hear that they were looking to do something similar in the OC?
They called.
They just called you because they saw your face.
They called. I actually don't know the story to this day. When they called me,
you're like, I'm not shitting on anyone. Yeah. Wait, we want you for a reality show, Alex.
I will not shit on you. Exactly. And I actually thought it was a joke because, you know, 7 years, 8 years in the business, I've had other people randomly call and say, we want to do a reality show. And I'm like, okay, join the, like, how many reality shows can there be about real estate in Orange County?
Yeah.
And there's a few that have happened and kind of flopped and whatnot. So I'm like, it's not going to happen. So when the producer called me with this idea, I thought it was just another one. I didn't realize that they were actually big producers.
So when they said it had the selling Sunset come out by then,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
But you weren't familiar
with it? And that's what he – so he called me again.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll get back to you, you know, whatever. And then he called me again and he said – he had a different sales pitch. He was like, have you ever heard of the show Selling Sunset? I said, yes. And he goes, okay, so that, he said, have you ever seen it? I said, no, I've never seen it. But obviously I've heard of it. I don't live under a rock. And then he said, what about The Hills and Laguna Beach? I said, obviously. I used to watch Laguna Beach growing up all the time, especially because I was living in this small little farm town at the time. We would literally have designated like Tuesday nights and all the girls get together with popcorn and watch Laguna Beach.
And would that make you want to move to the OC?
Oh, everyone thought when I was 15 and moving to Laguna Niguel, mind you, not Laguna Beach. They were like, Alex Hall is going to be on the show Laguna Beach. And I was like, it doesn't work that way. First of all, that show's not even airing anymore. And I'm not going to Laguna Beach. I'm going to Laguna Niguel. It's different. But coming from a small town like that, everybody thought that's just what happened. Like, you move to the town and you're going to get on the show. But it was very cool for me to think, wow, you guys are literally the producers of a show that I used to watch as a teenage little girl. So then he had me, and I was like, okay, what? Now – I get it. You guys are serious. You obviously have had very successful shows.
Right.
So we kind of talked about it. And at this point, I was very, very happy in my career as a real estate agent. Things were going on an upward trajectory for me, and I was very happy with the way things were going. So moving over to Jason's team was, you know, a huge – I talked to Jason, and I told him all of the things that were going on in my career, and he said, talk to a few of the other agents. And ask them what they think about working for me. And I
some of his agents. Yeah.
I spoke to Mary. I spoke to Gio, who's actually on the show with us.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of other agents, and they were just – and I spoke to Jason for a few hours.
Right.
And it was like, okay, this is the right move for me.
So then was it hard to tell the other people that you were leaving to go be on this TV show?
Horrific. I hated that. But I was like, don't hate – because I had a very – you know, I loved who I worked for also at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always very, very supportive of me. And so it was that was hard, yeah. It was hard to say goodbye.
And, okay, so then you decide – and in doing the show, did you have any worries about, like – now your kids are barely featured, but, like, exposing
– Absolutely.
Your life and becoming a international personality, really,
yeah.
Because the show is international.
So crazy to even
and so were there any – was it all like, oh, my God, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that you said, like, you watched this show.
Yeah.
I'm very much about, like, oftentimes things have been manifested which I didn't secret it. I didn't manifest it. But I look back and I'm like, oh, my God, I always thought I would live here. I always
right.
thought I would do
and
this.
And that's a real thing.
Yeah. So, like, it's interesting that you kind of liked that and thought
yeah.
about that. You end up there.
Yeah.
And then your life goes in this total other direction of being a young mom.
Yes. Yeah.
And now you're kind of – so when the opportunity came – and you saw that it was, you know, you're already stepping into a successful franchise.
Right.
What are you also hoping to get from this platform besides better listings?
Exactly. So I was thinking this, everything happens for a reason. And it was really, really difficult for me to make the decision. And I was highly, highly leaning towards not doing it. Because I was almost like, is the devil tempting me here? Like, I've got a good thing with my business without being, you know, on a screen like this and being on a platform for just critique, you know. And I thought to myself, if I do this, it's for one reason, and it's just to catapult my career faster and have and secure financial freedom for me and my children. Because I don't have – there's one income household for me. And that's the mentality that I had. And I thought, okay, if it can be a fair trade-off or if there's a higher opportunity than a negative. And then I was talking to my mom about it and she goes, I'm not letting you not do it. You're doing it. You have to do it. You have to do it. You've been presented with this offer. Like, there's the door. You got to walk through it.
And what was, besides just a few phone calls, like how much interviewing on camera and stuff did you have to do before they said, we absolutely want you?
So they interview everybody. I mean, they want Oppenheim agents, obviously. You know what I mean? So I don't know what the deal is with their interviewing process with everybody.
So did you first have to leave the one brokerage and go to Oppenheim before you, even if you're going to be featured on the show?
So it depends. A lot of agents were already working at the Oppenheim group. So
who
I
was,
spoken our,
who
to
was
Jason.
Already working?
I had spoken to Jason before, long before. I actually don't know if any of the agents weren't working for Jason before. You'd have to ask production.
Okay.
How many people? I hate that photo. Look cross.
Okay. So that doesn't even look like you.
Right?
I'm
don't know
sorry.
What they did to that photo.
Sorry.
It doesn't.
All right. Let's go through the people. Okay. So over on the corner, I have the selling, you know, the selling OC.
Everybody was there when I got there. I was the last agent to
join the group.
Yeah. So I don't. So to my knowledge, everybody was at the Oppenheim group.
And the office right now, which is really big, right in Corona del Mar right there on the strip.
Right.
I almost feel like that was built to be shot in.
Oh, my gosh.
Was it?
No.
Oh, really?
Jason just does everything elaborate, over the
okay,
top, and luxurious.
Right.
That is one of the – I mean, it's so hilarious that it's a real estate office because it's such a huge – it's a staple in Corona del Mar. Corona del Mar is this very – you know, it's very
yeah.
tiny little quaint town. And it was this massive black office with this Oppenheim logo on the top. And it's tall and it wasn't – it's never been a real estate office. Most of the other real estate offices in Newport, Corona del Mar, Laguna – they're just these tiny little like storefronts almost just to have
right.
an address and a name. And ours has a gym and a bar and our massive desks and a kitchen and a shower and two bathrooms and a rowing room. I mean, it's true Jason Oppenheim style. I have no complaints. It's gorgeous.
And his twin is not featured in this anymore because they're not really working together.
Brett was there. Yeah, yeah. Brett was in. Was he not in the show?
We never saw him.
Really?
No.
Yeah, when they drove up in their Bronco. They did the cute little high five.
I guess that's the only time I remember. Okay, let's go through the people. So first we have Tyler, who is a surfer who comes from a real estate background. His dad was a big realtor.
He's had his license, to my understanding, the longest out of any of us. Because I thought I had had my license longer than anybody, and Tyler's had his, because his dad is a real estate mogul in Laguna. And so I think his dad, like you, like your parents, he had his license in 2010 or something ridiculous.
And so he decides to do the show, and he's married to Brittany Snow from Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
And I find that dynamic really interesting because of Selling Sunset, it was very similar in that Chrishell, who was an actress, but not nearly as big as her husband at the time from This Is Us.
Right.
She then gets on this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know about the two of them, about him and Brittany.
Him and Brittany.
Yeah. My prediction is, no, this isn't going to work out. And I know some stuff is for TV, but I don't think she signed up for him to be a star. And I think he's a star. And of course, what we see on the show is one of the storylines is that this girl, what's her name, Kayla, who's also a single mom, she gets drunk and she flirts and she tries to make out with Tyler, and you guys are all really creeped out by it. But at the same time, you're all cuddly with him. Mm-hmm. Are you the one who bites his nose?
Yeah, it's not a bite. It's a nosy. It's gross.
Okay.
It's nothing cute.
And he's a babe. He's a babe. And so they're all flirty, but, you know, has her in tears. Now, you come off real bitchy.
I know.
And real bitchy and, like, really wanting to start a shit. And, like, there's one moment where you're like, oh, my God, I die. I don't know what's going on.
When did I do that?
At the party. At one.
Oh, when I had my hair up in a ponytail?
At Gio's party, you guys are annoyed with the other Alexes, Alex Rose and Alex Jarvis.
Yes.
And I have to say, in watching it, I felt like this, like, was a little bit not that comprehensible. Like, I didn't really think there was
there's a lot left out. Well, that's because there's a lot left out. That's why it's not comprehensible.
Oh, and we'll, find out second season?
Hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully we will. Part of the thing was that Alex Rose, who's the blonde girl, has been accused of dating or possibly doing a number two on someone to get a listing. No, I don't know if that was it. But it was, did she sleep with someone to get her listing?
And I didn't, if you watch the show very closely, it gets very convoluted. But if you watch closely, I'm not actually the one who insinuated that. Actually had told, and it shows that in the show, but people hear what they want to hear, and it's a lot of talking. It was actually that I had come to her and told her that that was what was the rumor going around. And then she confronted at that night of our opening party, she asked if that's what the girls were saying. And then I don't know how somehow it got to further down in the episodes. It was Alex Hall is saying that I sleep with people for listings.
Then with Kayla, so Kayla's very new. She's still bartending. Mm-hmm. She gets her first listing and she's like, will you co-list it with me?
Right.
And you feel like she doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Right.
And so you start to get annoyed. And then I can't believe you took yourself off the listing. You just didn't think it was going to sell? Did it sell?
It didn't sell. It expired. It was overpriced. And, I mean, you...
You know.
And my dad, it wasn't even just
that.
My dad
used to always say, this listing isn't going to change my lifestyle.
Right.
So it's like, one deal is one deal.
Right.
But if it becomes like it's too overwhelming or the person isn't really serious, it takes an experienced broker to be like, I don't need this. I don't need to be... This is never going to happen.
Well, it's a waste of time and money. And we paid for staging, which is my money, my time. Kayla at that point had gotten, in my opinion, very indignant and over. She was overstepping and at that point thought that she knew more and didn't want to take my advice anymore.
Yeah.
Jason said it himself. I don't know if he said it on the show, but he was like, I would cancel the client. He's not serious. Why would we raise the price? It makes – and I've been, you know, trained for the last 7 or 8 years – to, you know, try to not look stupid in what you're doing and not waste your time. Like, especially as single mothers, like, our time is very valuable. We don't have a lot of it. And so there's a lot of background with that client, too, that you guys unfortunately don't. It's what not enough time to air everything.
Right. And then,
so it was a
nightmare. And then with the clients, like, how does it work? Like, I always kind of wonder. Like, I know sometimes the production just finds a house for you to show that agrees to – let you have a conversation about the party in your heels. I get that part. But like,
right.
How, what about like, I feel like I'm good friends with Josh Flagg and Josh Altman of, Million Dollar Listing. Mm-hmm. And that's really much more about their lives and the clients and stuff. And this, I feel like, is more about your life, like
right.
the interactions with each other and
right.
stuff. And so is it hard to, did you ever have to ask any of your clients, hey, would you participate in the show
Absolutely.
Or not?
Yeah, the listing that you saw of mine, and that's the thing is too, it's almost like a double-edged sword because
right.
sometimes your really great listings, your clients don't want to have it on the show.
Right.
And sometimes, so it just depends. Your clients absolutely have to be willing and able to have their home aired. And sometimes they'll say, yeah, do my house, but don't do me. And so a lot of people at a certain caliber get very, very private. Just at the end of the day. And there's also the other side where a lot of people at that caliber want to show off, you
right.
know? And so...
And then also if it's not selling, you're like, well, hey, if right. it's not sold when this airs, it might
right.
now. Like,
right.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's also a selling point.
Right.
Like the $106 million listing is a pocket listing. It's not on the MLS anywhere, but showing it on a global platform like the show is going to give it a lot of exposure.
Right.
Without getting it listed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of the listings on our show were real, actual listings. What is Josh Flagg? Is he on Million Dollar Listing?
He's on Million Dollar Listing. And, you know, they're both, I mean, they both do really, really well.
Yeah.
And I know Million Dollar Listing New York has been canceled. I don't know if this one will come back. I don't know if people are reflecting going.
God, that show's been going on for
the
so
kind of
long.
Reality, yeah, the kind of reality show we really want is really about this glam
right.
and about this drama. I always really liked it. I mean, I like it because I like them and I think they're funny. And I like that
right.
they show like some old historical house that needs work. Like,
yeah,
I
like
to
that
see
too.
The glam all the time.
Yes.
But I think this is a great model, too. Like,
right.
I think you can enjoy both.
Right. Well, I loved how Polly showed that, like, fixer-upper
yeah.
on our season. And she made a comment to me after. She goes, selling something that never showed any, like, rehab properties.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my God, that's so cool. It would be really cool if we could get that on season two and watch what she does with afterwards.
Right, yeah.
She's going to go in there. The person who bought that house is going to go
right.
into something fantastic, I'm sure.
Okay, so Tyler is pretty delightful. Then...
Oh, you're a fan of Tyler.
Now, what's this cat's name up
Which
here?
Which one? Sean?
Sean.
Austin.
Wait, so Sean, he didn't get that much airtime.
Yeah, he didn't, unfortunately.
Now, is he straight?
He's bisexual.
Oh, he is bisexual.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because then I missed that because...
We talked about it at pizza night at my house.
Okay, because someone then wrote... after watching Selling Sunset, I'm going to coin the word California straight. Because she felt they all seemed a little gay.
I mean, Austin is a model. You know what I mean? I feel like that just, if you're a model.
Austin's the dad with twins.
Yes.
So yeah.
Cute. Gio, who we call him GQ. That's our nickname for Gio.
And Gio's married.
Gio's
to a
married
woman.
To Tiffany. Yep.
Okay. And then we got the girls. Then we got Polly, who's English.
Yes.
From England.
Yeah.
Whose husband cheated on her. And then we have Brandy,
yep.
who's married.
With two kids.
She seems pretty normal.
Yeah.
And then the other two, Alex,
uh-huh.
the Tynamo twins. And then, wait, who's this one over here?
Who? Lauren. That's Lauren and that's Kayla.
Oh, Lauren. Lauren didn't get that much airtime.
Lauren didn't get that much airtime. We've all got these. We thought going into it, we were like, they're going to talk a lot about our stories because we all have such dynamic backgrounds.
Yeah, you all
have
good, like, juicy backstories.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think once some of the drama hit the surface, production was like, we got to run with this.
Right.
You know, sorry, we were going to go into the backgrounds of you guys a lot more, but we can't.
Yeah.
Adam was like, we can't not just go with
right.
the drama. You know?
So how long were you guys filming for? How many months or weeks?
God, it seemed like an eternity. To be honest with you, I think November, December, January. 4 months.
Oh, so November through January.
We definitely started in November.
Did it ever rain on a day that you were filming? Or was every day just gorgeous there?
It was gorgeous. There was days where it was cold, like one or two, like if we would film early in the morning. And they're like, no jackets. No jackets, you guys. We got
nips out.
We're in Orange County. We
yeah.
got to... We're like, oh my God, it's freezing. You know? And the weather changes drastically. Like,
now,
your
tits got a lot of airtime. You wore
a lot of
necklaces mm-hmm. as.
I loved
shirts.
Every scene. The only one where it was so super
yeah.
aggressive, and I remember telling one of our producers, this is a lot, you know? And when I get on my period, they're double the size. And production was like, well, that's really good to know. Because sometimes we have to do, like, pickup scenes.
They're like, that's really good to know. When are you in your period next? Because we want to make sure those titties are
no, out. Like, we have to have it match up.
Yeah.
And if we're doing a pickup scene. And I was like, that is aggressive. And she goes, no, no, no. They look great. They look great. I'm like, but they look so big.
Now, did
big.
You prepare your outfits before you started filming and, like, really was like, I need to step it up. I need to.
I tried, but it doesn't always. The amount of outfits that we had to have, I couldn't even.
I mean, I just feel like such an old fat loser watching the show. I mean, I used to think I was like pretty fucking like cute and put together, but I am like that Jarvis girl. She's got to be a triple zero if that exists.
She's tiny, yeah. She's very tiny.
I mean,
very tiny. I honestly feel like for me, I'm not. That's not my figure. I'm more curvaceous. And I feel
your body, when I'm next to the Selling Sunset girls, I feel
like an ogre. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are so, they're like fashion runway models, all of them. All of the girls that I've met from Selling
Sunset.
Now,
was anybody worried that they would, that someone would start dating Jason? Now, I know he has a new tall girlfriend, but there was a moment in between where
we're
he
all
was
too
single.
Old, I think, to date Jason. I think he has like, he only.
Oh,
will
really?
Date
he's like a Leonardo
under...
DiCaprio?
Well, I mean, his new girlfriend is so young. She's adorable too, by the way. I love her.
Yeah.
But she's 20 something.
Yeah.
The youngest one out of all of us is.
Well, I think Jason loves his new life because one time when I was watching it and you guys were talking like business, right? I stopped watching of it. I zoomed in, and he wasn't looking at the MLS or a contract. He was looking at the Daily Mail, probably looking about what's going on with himself. And so, hey,
I gotta love Jay.
I mean, if you could have both, like if you could have all the fun of, you know, being famous and
we have a lot
doing
of fun.
This,
we have a lot of fun, and I think that he is very excited about the Orange County office because it's. Another one of his babies, and it's all he's meeting all new people. Selling Sunset is a lot of his old friends that he's known from for a very long time, and we're younger, like you said, we're by the beach. It's a different party environment too. Like we're on boats and at the beach, not at nightclubs. And...
Oh, I have a question. Why'd you get so bitchy? And I thought you were kind of out of hand when you were yelling about Gio's wife.
Like that scene.
Okay,
was
so let me explain
so
to the
dramatic.
People if you didn't watch it. So Gio's wife and you were friends at some point.
Right.
She then went to Gio and said that you snubbed her at the premiere party, the premiere of The Office, which essentially looked like a Hollywood premiere.
Right. It was, yeah.
And your understanding was that you didn't, right?
Yeah.
And so then there was this weird confusion, and then the producers were like, well, let's bring it up at every opportunity and milk it out all season.
Right.
But you were, like, yelling at him about
it. I was so irritated with him. He was going – so here's the thing is that for the 2 weeks leading up to that moment, he was going around telling everybody featured here, somebody snubbed my wife at the opening party.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't say who it was, but he said it was – So, and then I think Brandy alluded to him.
Right.
Well, she assumed it was, I think, Rose or Jarvis. I think she assumed it was Rose at that point. And she goes, you know what, something about Rose, you know, who cares about Rose? And he goes, who said it was Rose? And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, why are you being so dramatic and, like, trying to ruffle everyone's feathers and, like, keep us on the edge of our seats and pretending, like, if there's a problem, just talk about it. And so we had talked about it. He blindsided me at the... And so after that, we had the conversation at the Broker's Open where he's like in front of everybody. And I'm thinking, it couldn't have been me. I said, and if it was completely unintentional because I would never intentionally snub anybody. And I said it at that event. And so a lot had happened between that and then the beach scene as well. So then at the beach scene, I was like, this is where I have to draw a line in the sand. Like, I'm not the one. You're not going to go around and be causing all this drama about me with all of my new colleagues, you know? And so I felt like that moment for me, because he was making it seem like such a bigger deal. I know that was a dramatic scene for me, but the behind the scenes was him trying to start drama, and I wanted to say, like, don't. We're not doing this. Do it with
somebody
else.
And so when Polly, the English girl, takes off her polka dots, Polly and polka dots.
Yeah.
And complete nudity.
Yeah.
Goes in the ocean.
A lot of now, alcohol was consumed.
And I'm
that
also
day.
Guessing the ocean is not that warm.
Oh, no, it was freezing.
So I think that's a real moment where she wanted to shine. And I think she was probably drunk.
Oh, yeah. We all were.
You're telling me nobody's wife was a little, like, Listen,
not that I know of. I'm not a wife, so I don't know. I love naked women.
So I mean, when she gets back out, I loved to when see she her crawls naked. Out of the water,
we all had towels there waiting for her. Me and Lauren were like running with towels.
But still, everyone saw like the badge.
They could close her eyes or turn away. I mean,
I don't know. I just thought, and she's the one that then gives Kayla so much shit when she got naked in front of like two married men. She got naked, and then she's giving Kayla shit for being boozy and flirting with a guy who's probably getting divorced.
Well, I think in the intention, there was a lot of alcohol. The intention was different. And one of those married guys, Tyler, was the one she had the freaking bet with. Like, of the sunset. You know what I mean? So
the bet to what?
Go to get nude? If the sunset is above a 9, if we all agreed it was above a 9, Polly gets naked. And if it's below a 9, Tyler gets naked. I think she probably made the bet thinking no one's listening, whatever. And then she realized.
I mean, I'm just saying, it
was silly.
No,
I wasn't mad about it though.
In no reality show, and even in like any kind of like TV acting job, have I been like to my friends, okay, if the bottle spins to the left, you get to see my
clit. I get nude.
And if it goes to the right, nips only. Were just friends. What's the problem?
I don't know if Polly has any regrets from that.
Would this conversation, would this party be happening with realtors in the OC if there were no TVs, no cameras?
With us, our crew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
100%. But also, Polly's a model. If you want to see Polly naked anywhere on the internet, you can.
She's gorgeous.
She's stunning. She's a model. She's European.
I mean, all you,
I have a European
all
background.
Of you guys.
I go to any beach in Italy and everyone's got their tops off. Like, it's not seeing an ass cheek, it doesn't offend me. Or I'm going to tell you right now, if I was married, my husband would be stoked to see her naked on the beach.
I don't think when a girl gets naked, it's has anything to do with her. I don't think it, and she's like, you can all see me naked.
Right.
The only thing I do think when girls do that, and maybe you're one of these girls, think about the fact that who's there is maybe not single.
This
and
is
that
our
and their
point.
And their
this
partner's not there, and I think that's shitty.
Okay. And that and you're totally fair and valid to your opinion. Here's what I will say though. A, alcohol is being consumed, lots of alcohol, but production does a very, very, very good job, and this is probably why they love us so much, at making it feel like they're not there. It's the most bizarre thing. Even when we're in the office, and that's how they capture so much content. I mean, they have enough content right now to make a season 2 without us ever filming again. They've got so much. They can't possibly air it all. But they are so, so good. Even when they're filming and it looks like they're right here, they're like a mile away.
Right.
So we forget, especially since we've become friends and it is their intimate settings and whatnot, and because of the alcohol consumption, we literally, there's way more stuff that we've regretted doing on television that didn't make the scenes as far as like things that we might have said or things that we might have been like, oh God, or something about, I mean, there's things that I've said about like my children or my relationships that I'm like, oh God, I hope that I don't want, because there's a lot of my private life that I don't want to be on. I've made a conscious decision not necessarily bad, horrible things, but just things that might be more personal to us. And we don't ever know what route or what avenue production's going to take.
And so what the guy that we see you go on the date with, are you still dating him?
He's still a very dear friend, but we are not.
Okay. So, dating. And how old are your kids now?
8 and going to be 13.
And so did the 13-year-old watch any of it?
Yeah, she watched the whole thing with me.
And does she love that you're doing this?
She just loves. I mean, there was a part, like, she watched me with me for the very first time, so I didn't know what to expect. And this is right up her alley. I mean, she's a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, I love it. Oh, my God. But there were some moments where she was like, oh.
And like what?
And
like
when Polly ran in naked, both of my son and his cousin, my nephew, were in the other room, and they came out just going to the kitchen to get a snack right when Polly and my nephew's like, did that girl just get naked? I'm like, avert your eyes, like, stop. And then obviously the scene where Jeremy's saying something about his burning pieces, I was like, oh God, Gia, cover your ear. My daughter, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was gonna make the scene, but it's a hilarious scene, but also she doesn't need to be hearing that.
And so what's your situation now romantically?
Single. single. And it's funny because a lot of people think, oh, you're going to find somebody because of, you know, you're on this platform now. I said, I think it's going to be way more difficult because I like normal.
Yeah.
I like normal. I don't want somebody who's in this
and
type
it is,
of world.
And it is hard because a lot of men, if they do pursue you and date you, it's they're going to want – the production, everybody's going to want you to include it, include it in your life. Yeah. And so they're going to have to be willing to do that, which some people can.
Right. Like, some people don't want to. The last guy I was dating was like, you're going to be on a reality show? Bye. Mm. I'm like, what? What? I was like, I'm gonna make a lot of money. They're like, I don't want that life.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want that life either. I just want the
check. So right now, you guys are not filming yet. You're waiting to see. And then, and so in the meantime, you just are hustling.
I don't have the real estate. Time to think.
So you have a lot of business, real estate business?
So busy with business. Good. So busy without, you know, new endeavors. My kids, there's just so much going on. I mean, if something were to happen organically, would I, you know, put a wall up? No, but I'm not actively looking right now to date. I can't. There's just not enough hours in the day. And especially like going from being in a relationship and knowing, you know, the ins and outs of somebody to going to, oh, what's your favorite color? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to start from ground. I can't start from zero right now. I don't have the mental capacity for that.
Well, I have some predictions of what's going to happen on the show.
Oh, I lead you your predictions.
But it might not be that nice.
So what?
Okay. I think we're going to get rid of a couple people.
Okay.
But it's, I think we're going to get rid of, I mean.
For season two, you think people aren't going to be on the show for season two, okay?
Like here, I'll just like.
You're gonna, not going to name them? You're just going to zoom in on them?
Yeah. The two on the end.
Which end?
This girl on the end. The pretty one.
Lauren. Oh, she's so great. I hope she, because she's, I love her so much. And I she has such a big personality.
Okay, well, if I was her, this is what she needs to do.
Yeah.
She needs to go to them and go, I understand I wasn't featured.
Yeah.
But this is why you should feature me.
Yeah.
She's so great. Like she's got to fight. Because she came off really cute and nice. There just was no story. And that's not her fault.
She's got spice. Let me tell you. Yeah.
Also, this guy, he did nothing. The bisexual guy.
Mm.
So, usually when you're bisexual as a realtor, you got to go full gay.
It's got to go full one way or nothing.
Madison on LA Million Dollar Listing,
uh-huh.
He was bi and he had to go full gay. And then
For the show or like
in real life?
No, in real life
he probably was full gay to start.
Right.
But we need to see him like with
a gay pride flag on his car.
Just a full dude. And have a whole thing about it.
If he
wants to stay on the show. If he doesn't want to stay on the show, he can remain being bi.
Well, it's really bizarre too because they didn't go into our backgrounds. Like, of course I also think the wives,
Austin's wife. Uh-huh.
Lisa,
I think it would be really fun if she got her license and they become this couple, the realtor, and she gets involved.
They're both models, I'm pretty sure. I mean, Lisa's fantastic.
And they sell model homes. Models who sell model homes, that's
the slogan.
That slogan, okay?
You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, Gio, his wife, I think, wants to be involved.
I mean, they're newlyweds. Of course, I mean, anything that he's going to do or she's going to do, I think that that's natural to
somehow, if she doesn't want to be a realtor, she could be the stager, whatever.
She's not a stager.
What does she do?
She's in, like, kind of, I think, in, like, somewhat PR or something.
Well, stop that. If you want to be on the show, do something.
I love that they did have them on the show a little bit, though, some of the wives.
Brandy is good. She's like the voice of reason. So I think she's fine with doing her thing.
Okay.
And then the Jarvis twins, or whatever, Jarvis and Alexa Rose.
Everyone has a different name for them. It's really funny. It's funny to hear all of the different names.
I don't even think they have good chemistry as a duo. So I think they're probably going to break up. They're going to probably break up. And as beautiful as this girl is, this Jarvis girl, she wore too many ponytails. Yes. And she already has like a rich husband.
But
if we can see her like rich wedding, then she can stay one more season.
I love a good wedding.
I
don't think I'll be invited, but I'll see it on the show.
I think you can have like a luncheon with her and you can get yourself invited.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And then Kayla, definitely she's going to stay. But we need to see her date
Polly or Kayla?
Kayla needs to date some rich old guy that you guys all think is terrible for her. And you're like, and then she's, and then she starts flaking on listing appointments stuff because the guy is so rich
that she doesn't need to sell houses anymore.
And then Jason has to have like a sit down with her.
Oh God.
And then you guys find out that this guy's been like, he's been married 4 times, but she's
like, or he's still married.
Yes, yeah, something. And then, you know, and then she's just like, why can't I have something? And that was going to be her first relationship with this older guy. Mm. And it's not going to work out. And then Polly is, what should I have happen to Polly? I mean, she definitely can stay.
I love
just
her.
Outfits and stuff alone. And so I think that she, just came to me. She's going to have a little bit of a lesbian thing happen.
Really?
Just a small one that she flirts with.
Okay. Does she get married? Does she like find somebody? Like,
no, she just... Okay. She just has a bout with a lesbian, but it goes nowhere. Very it's a lesbian client that's super horny for her.
Oh.
And you're like, is this real or is this not?
Okay.
And then or she's flirty. Like, remember when in Sex and the City when Charlotte was like, loved the power of lesbians because they were like in the art world?
Yes.
And she's just sort of, and then when they realized she was absolutely not going to do it. And the one girl goes, if you don't eat pussy, get the fuck out.
Yes.
You're not going on the trip.
Yes.
We need a moment like that with Polly.
But what's her name? Also did the lesbian. It wasn't Charlotte. The other, Samantha did the lesbian thing.
She was full lesbian. But like I'm saying, Polly's just going to enjoy the power.
Just put her toe in the water.
She's going to be like, do you know that there's a whole area of like power lesbians that have a ton of money in the OC, but they like you wouldn't think it. And so she tries to get those lesbian clients. And you got, and then she's like, I think I could do this. And then the end, the lesbians realize she's full of shit. She just wanted their listings.
Got it. Okay.
And then that's it. And then you're the star.
I mean,
you're still the star.
I took a weird turn, but I don't.
Well, I can't help the predictions.
I can't help the prediction. We're manifesting here.
I can't help.
We're manifesting.
The show's going to continue. You're going to continue.
Do you think though that if two cast members don't make it, are they going to put two more cast members in?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
See, I think they have to bring in a couple new people for whatever reason.
They do that all the time with Selling Sunset.
So
I've noticed.
I mean, if the people are on the fringe, and they
so unfortunate.
They have to either fight for it. They have to fight for it and be like, you know, they should even negotiate like whatever. Something where they can stay on it because they're definitely going to have to bring in a couple new people.
And we already know them. I mean, Lauren is like, Lauren doesn't drink. She's got a whole, she had a crazy phase. You know, I won't speak on her behalf, but she's got wisdom because she's had so much experience and she doesn't take shit from anybody.
Well,
she's the level-headed one.
Well,
but
she's
got to bring it on season 2.
I'm just saying she better let them know.
Yeah.
You know, what's
it's hard to get a freaking word in edgewise with all of us. Are you kidding? Lauren's just like,
I'm not criticizing them. Okay. I know how these things work.
Yeah. Here I'm like defending Lauren.
I'm saying from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying to Lauren and that guy, I'm telling you what you've got to let
step
happen.
Up. Yeah.
If Lauren also has access to some like controversial rich person that she's has it, like dating, that's another thing that you can bring.
Lauren's married.
See, we don't even, I didn't know that.
I know. That's
what
I'm saying.
She got to get divorced. Anyway, just kidding. Really fun talking to you.
Likewise.
I think, much like Mary, who was an inspiring single mom, that like I think your story is something we don't often hear, and it's not what you'd think. Like watching the show,
yeah, you don't hear it on the show.
Yeah, like you wouldn't really think. And I think, you know, for people, it's you know, you're this glamorous reality star, but it's like an inspiring story.
Not at home, I'm not.
No,
people
don't
even recognize me. I go to Trader Joe's and I got my hair up and no makeup on. And I'm like, I am unrecognizable. Like,
well,
I'm barefoot most of the time.
I think you're really smart. I think you're a hard worker. I think you're a great mom.
Thank you.
Some exciting things will happen. And
I hope so.
You know, stop being such a mean girl bitch. or continue it. Or just continue it.
I'm not mean. I'm direct and I'm blunt. And I...
All right.
Everything that happened on the show, I promise I have a valid reason.
Okay.
So hopefully season 2, you just get a little bit more of the push before the...
All right. Well, tell everybody where they can follow you for fun.
Only on Instagram.
Okay. What is
it? I think I'm at AlexHall_OC.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of Alex Halls.
And if you guys haven't watched it, watch it.
Yes.
You'll even enjoy it more now that you've got the scoop.
Yes.
And you can tell me what you think.
The juicy scoop.
What you should think should happen with these people.
Give us your predictions.
Yeah. Thank you.
So fun.